This is about the spending envelope for 2007-08. There is a paper here, which is starts on page 52 in the stack. I assume everybody's looked at this. It's actually quite important. Actually, it said, please read this paper carefully. But yes, that was the basic idea. I'll let Keith speak to it briefly, if that's okay, Keith.
Okay, well, I think, firstly, it's probably timely to remind ourselves of the process that we agreed that we'd go through this strategic plan, business plan, budget, and so on. And looking specifically down the budget column, you'll see that we have had some committee input along the way, but this is the meeting to decide the budget envelope for the forthcoming year. What we've done as an approach is really looked at any significant items on the way through that are under discussion at the moment and incorporated them into the fiscal envelope. So things like the NetSafe strategic partnership, we said let's attribute $100,000 for that because it's a big ticket item and sort of five times what we had in this year's budget and so on. $50,000 for Council Arlena area and so on. So we've taken the big ticket items and had a look at that. We have then painted the picture of our likely net current assets at 31 March 2007 at $1.3 million, which incidentally is a little bit off our fiscal reserves policy of $1.45 million. Not that I think we need to get hung up on the small difference between the two, but note along the way that this is we have the potential to breach our fiscal reserves policy along the way. And then really we're painting three different envelopes for you. And this is not to visit every project that we have in front of us and say, well, you know, are we going to spend $5,000 on this or $7,500 on that and so on. But more to say, if we have a status quo budget, next year's spending envelope would look like about $1.94 million. If we had an expansion budget, which allowed for $150,000 of new work and new areas of activity and $250,000 for a whole new area of activity, would come up with $2.3 million. Or if you wanted a contraction, i.e. going ruthlessly through a budget and eliminating some line items and saying we're not going to do those, we're going to strictly stick within our financial reserves policy, which comes down to a spending envelope at $1.8 million. And we have projected out the forecast or the impact of those particular items for you. And I think have left you the very open recommendation and conclusion that you set the spending envelope at X.X million and we can fill in those dots through discussion on the process. So I think, assuming everyone's read the paper and got a fairly good understanding, are there questions or specifics that anyone wishes to raise?
Jordan, you.
Just a point of information, some of you will notice that the numbers in the soft version that Keith is showing you is slightly different to the numbers in your paper. Yeah. The reason for that is that if you look at the summary table on page 54, that came out of the same as the more extended table on 56, which was our line-by-line forecast. The numbers that are in the soft copy that Keith showed you are slightly different, around 40K different, I think, 30K different, because they were an earlier forecast. That's the only difference. And I forgot to update the bottom table, so that reflects the numbers that Keith showed you, the one about the financial balance, but that is an important table, so we didn't give you the corrections. Either way, we're talking about a marginal difference. And each number being slightly lower than the you've got than in the paper Keith has been showing you on the screen.
Okay, well, thank you. And David?
Just to pop into context of what this may or may not mean to the .xz fee, very ballpark, based on our current 250,000 names, every extra $100,000 of expenditure is an extra or a reduction we can't make of 5 cents a month. So that ballpark, by the middle of next year, will probably be 280,000 to 290,000 names. So yeah, it might be 4 cents. But basically, we've got $1.75 a month fee. Every 100,000 is 5 cents.
Can I just ask Danny, that in terms of that number, if we stuck with a status quo, is that status quo working on a status quo for the fee, as far as you're aware?
The status quo of 1.9 million, taking off the 200,000 of interest and other income, if you went for a dividend of around 1.7, that would broadly, based on expected domain name growth, be within that existing $6 net we've been working on.
All right, thank you.
So, just to establish exactly the facts of the of the income stream there, we have, again, just looking for the sake of an argument at the neutral budget, the status quo one, we have a 1.9 million income requirement to achieve that budget, of which we would expect 1.7 from the company.
Yep, that's about right.
And this year, what is the amount that we took from the company by comparison? That was 1.4. Right. And the reason for the difference in that is because this year we're spending out of reserves. So just trying to clarify, make sure that everybody understands what's going on here. We have been running our reserves down steadily since the sale of domains. We've now hit the position where we're no longer comfortable effectively to do that. That was what the purpose of the reserves policy that we endorsed last session was.
So, Colin, this is an important point, especially for new councils.
Yes.
For the last number of years, we have been running down reserves.
This is correct,
We've been financing our activities from a combination of reserves and dividends.
Correct.
Yes.
We've now sort of reached that bottom line, and from now on, we're going to be financing our activities purely out of dividends.
We have some other income through mainly interest, but yes.
Except there's always going to be interest. But what we are...
We're not going to run reserves, Danny.
We're not going to run reserves.
We've got them to the level we've mandated.
That is the position that that council has reached by its previous decisions, okay. that we have run our reserves down far enough. So
as long as everybody's very clear on this?
Yes. Jordan?
Another way to think about that is that if you go with a status quo option, you probably don't need to find major new sources of revenue to finance it. But if you choose to go into the expansion mode, you probably will need to either change the fee, or find new sources of revenue.
There's another.
But then again, I'd like to also restate that this paper is definitely not about the revenue question. It's about setting your spending envelope.
There is another point to make here, which is that Simon said, we have been running on a combination of income and reserves, and we have decided not to use reserves any further. This means that this year we either have to reduce our spending, or we have to increase the money we take from the company in order to maintain a balanced budget, I mean a neutral budget, so or even a bigger budget, if that's what is deemed appropriate. But the point I'm trying to make here is either there is a $300,000 approx reduction in budget for the society, or there is an increase in the dividend requirement.
Can I just comment on that? Rail took 1.4 in dividend this year. We quite clearly indicated that I think the next 2 years were 1.6, 1.8, based on that rough ballpark of $6 per day. The difference between 1.7 and 1.6, I don't think 100,000 is worth being worried about. I suspect the increased number of domain names will move that 1.6 to 1.7. So if we go with the status quo, rather gross figure we take from interrails will increase. In terms of the figures used for budgeting and fee setting, and it's not going to change any of those assumptions. It's what don't carry.
Okay, now I'd be interested in discussion on the three possibilities we have here. Just before I throw the floor open, I'll observe that what Keith has done, and thank you, Keith, is laid us out three options here: status quo, expansion, or contraction. Now, as I understand it, the quantum of the putative expansion or putative contraction is effectively just used here as an example. What we're really talking about here is, are we going to have a budget the same size as we had last year? Are we going to have a budget smaller than we had last year? Yes, and are we going to have one that is larger than last year?
Can I ask a simple, naive question?
Sure.
How much of the current year's budget went into ICANN, the ICANN meeting?
Zero.
So the current meeting...
Well, it's the previous financial year.
It's all the previous financial year.
Yep, all right.
So, coming back from the status quo means a real reduction in expenditure.
Yes.
Between years. Yes.
The ICANN meeting didn't cost us any money in any case.
Because it was...
You made a profit out of the ICANN
sponsorship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The budget for this year, Frank, is 1.893. The status quo is 1.899. And that 1.893 doesn't include ICANN.
Yeah, ICANN was dealt with last year.
So, somebody want to open the bidding, as it were, on whether they think we should go for an increase, a decrease, or whatever?
I'd like to make a clear statement of principle from NZOC perspective, and I'm speaking as the chair of NZOC, and obviously as a councillor. I would like to see the recommendation we put forward last year for, all things being equal, reduction on a monthly basis. So I would be aiming for a fiscally conservative approach to this year's budgeting, and I would therefore be going for the contraction option rather than either the status quo or, and certainly not for an expansion.
Have you got specific areas in mind for a reduction in budget?
No.
We're not talking about making budget decisions.
We have to get away from that. We're not talking about budget decisions.
No, but anybody who says we're going to spend $300,000 less for the sake of an argument has to at least have a clue where that $300,000 is coming from.
It's a statement of position,
okay.
Which is quite understandable. I don't agree with it, but it's quite understandable.
Okay, do I have any more comments? Mark, then Simon.
I think at the moment, the status quo is going to fit with where we're going, as we're still feeling a wave, as a new environment coming, I wouldn't like to commit to a whole bunch of expenditure which would require us to take more money out of NZRS, which would be very much going against the principles espoused by NZRC last year. Whether I agree with them or not, that's still one of our policy-making bodies. So I really couldn't support an expansion. I neither could support a contraction, because I don't think anything's going to start costing any less, and there's still a heck of a stuff, a lot of stuff that we have to do. So I'd be going for just a status quo.
Jamie?
I'd like to vote for an expansion option, but I cannot, and that's because I can't see in front of me any coherent plans around gaining additional revenue. If we had coherent plans in front of us around gaining additional revenue, then expansion approach could be a good way to go.
As a point of clarification, I think this is the spending envelope, if there was the opportunity to spend more because we have an alternate revenue stream, that would become essentially the difference between the revenue and expenditure. So this is not necessarily to find new revenue streams along the way. It's just, you know, do you feel comfortable with the level of activity that we're doing this year? Do you want to do a bit more, or do you want to do a bit less? I think that's the simple decision.
Chris.
Thanks, well, it's my view, really, that we have to take account of the budget holder's point of view, and the budget holder is Keith. In the item marked discussion at the bottom of the page under the little table there, he says his view is that The current projects and work programme are at approximately the right level. Now, I don't particularly see any any strong reason for us to find an alternative.
Don't hang me out to dry though, Chris.
No, I'm not.
This is your budget.
I appreciate that, but it's also not the budget. We're talking about a spending envelope. If you see the workload that we currently have to be appropriate, then it seems to me that I'm happy to go along with that suggestion.
But it is important to recognise that this is your desire, which we then shape into the specific business plans. It gives us direction if we're dealing with committees and suddenly they're saying, well, we want 200,000 more for this and 200,000 more for that. We can just rule that out of order straight away and go on an evaluation process that fits within the envelope that you're providing. So it's giving us shape and form to the next stage.
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing from Keith is that he has enough money to pursue what council has asked him to do up till now. If council wants him to do something substantially more, then undoubtedly money will be required for that. Is that a fair comment, Keith?
I think that's fair enough, and also that but probably more in terms of setting the fiscal envelope is to know whether you're comfortable with the direction the society is taking. This is where we're at, or we should be doing more or less.
Okay, let's hear from Simon, then Michael.
I'm concerned about certain agendas being pushed in this discussion, which really fit outside of what we're trying to decide here. We're not making budget decisions here. We're giving a steer to, I guess, ED, and I guess to the other business units, as an input into the planning process that's going to continue on and accelerate over the next 2 or 3 months.
Yep.
So we're not locking ourselves into any final decisions. We're just providing an input into a planning process.
Yep.
We're not actually committing ourselves to anything more than that. Is actually saying, here, go away and use this number or these numbers in your spreadsheet with some confidence. You want some confidence that the numbers and the kind of decisions that you're going to be coming back to council with.
I think it's really important to note that if we choose status quo, it doesn't equal 1899000, and that's it. It could be $50,000 more, $50,000 less.
Let's not tie ourselves up in knots over this, and let's not bring other agendas to the table, because this is all we're doing is actually trying to put in motion, give ED some confidence with an input into a very key thing. Now, my view here is that once we get through the next stage of process where committees go away and actually start to do some serious thinking about where the kinds of outcomes that we want to be looking at for next year, I have a feeling when we add up all those numbers, it's probably going to come somewhere between the status quo and the expansion budget. I'm just taking a guess, but I have after being on council for a number of years, I have a quite confident that we will come back with a number that's going to sit between those two. We then, as we've done in past years, go through a lot of agony, trying to slice and dice our way down to a figure. What we're trying to do is reverse that agony and saying, actually, let's go with some confidence. So my view here is that for planning purposes, I'm not saying about for commitments, I'm not saying anything. For planning purposes, let's go with the expansion number and see what happens. And then I would like to see what, obviously, NOZ, NZOC is on record of wanting, not demanding, but the way it was presented, demanding a reduction in the domain name fee. I would like to see what the flexibility here is if we can expand and at the same time find a way of getting a reduction in the domain name fee. I don't know, because ED has to go back with a number and start playing around with those things. Same thing with Debbie and NZOC. I would prefer, so my position here is just, let's see where this can go. Rather than saying, well, we're going to commit to contraction. We're not making any commitments. So I'm saying, I would like to see us retain some flexibility here. so that we're not tying ourselves up in knots very early on in what is the first stage of this process.
Simon wants us to be agile.
Yes. I think we, well, actually, we are attempting to make at least a reasonable level of commitment here, Simon, because we're trying to avoid a process towards the end of the planning cycle when it's all still in play. And we wind up with another god-awful meeting like we had trying to set the fee and the budget at the same time. This is an attempt to cap our budget before the budget is done in detail. I want to make that very clear. That's what this is all about. It's an attempt to cap our budget so that it provides some certainty into the other side, other parts of the planning cycle, and particularly that's used by NZOC and NZRS to come up with domain name fees and company planning.
I think that's part of it, Colin, certainly, that you know, this would feed through to allow Oversight Committee and NZRS to establish what it feels comfortable in fees, but primarily it's to find out whether council is in agreement that we're here and we should remain here, or we should move that way, or we should move that way. Just a contractual expansion.
Now, I'd like to move to a straw poll on this fairly soon. Are there anybody who wants to say anything before we do that? It's non-binding. It's just for people to say where they feel they are on the three possibilities here, which is a status quo. Jordan, are you asking to say something? Yeah, okay. Just see where people are on that scale then. Jordan?
I think Michael was ready to talk on the
speaking list. Oh, you are on the speaking list. I'm sorry, Michael.
Matt?
Yes?
The point I was going to make, I mean, my position is status quo. I would just count the expansion on a couple of grounds, different practical mechanics in the debate. One, the most important of which is that if we were to plan to grow again next year, I think that would raise questions for me about our capacity to execute. And I feel quite strongly that we need to have a period of consolidation and focusing on quality outputs rather than quantum. So I think there's two main reasons for me not wanting to expand. One is that I feel like we've grown a lot, so the growth stress, and secondly, I think the implications on our funders are something we need to consider more carefully before we undertake focus really to growth. Likewise, I'm shy about a contraction because I think potentially we're in a phase of rearranging a lot of things. There might be some costs associated with some of the things we're going to do. This in an inherently unstable phase, if you like, we've seen major projects like telecommunications, which might draw our resources more. So that's sort of what steers me away from contraction. So that's where I fall into as well.
Thank you very much, Michael. Now I'm going to invite a straw poll at this stage. Oh, Jordan?
I just wanted to emphasise what Colin said. I think that the number that you set tonight for the staff, anyway, and working with committees, will be treated as a hard cap. We're not going to come up with a draft budget for the next meeting to consider that it's above the number that you set. So it is a constraint, and some of you will remember the absolute fracas of that meeting in February this year, which arose precisely because council didn't create a spending limit. You've got to create a spending limit, and it's got to be credible. So you have to go into this not with the understanding that it might sway either side, but that whatever, you know, less any revenue from retained interest or whatever, this is it. And you're not going to reevaluate that at later points, and you're not going to creep up. Because if you do that, we might as well not be having this conversation. Yeah. We might as well just done a bottom-up budget. The whole point of this was to impose top-down tension on spending requests. And if you treat this as a soft cap, that won't work, and you'll end up spending more. And I agree also with Michael's point that we need to actually focus on making best use of the resources that we're spending now, because I don't think we're there yet, and I think we could do a lot more with the money that we've got.
Yeah, well, I'd like council to note what both Jordan and I have said about this, and I'd like council to commit to accepting this, whatever we come out of this session, is to be viewed as a cap on spending for budgetary purposes for next year. And to fully understand that we're not going to be about to relitigating that later in the process. I'm going to take silence as assent on that one.
Which means we don't come back and say, well, we'll just get some more dividend.
Yeah, we don't. When we come round to the final budgeting thing, we don't say, oh my God, we need another 250,000. That's where I'm so we'll just stick our hands out. Michael, will you?
Well, I'm going to indicate that I'm going to go for the status quo, actually with preference for contraction. But what I'd also like to say, though, is that I'd like
somehow a message to be sent through NZOC to ask them to have a look at their budgets, because they run continuous circles, so it's an appeal or whatever. And if we can bring some control and discipline to the budgets inside council and what have you, then potentially, you know, I think that the growth in the market will help us in the long term, which is what I'm looking to. And I also look for how money is being spent in other areas of the organisation and what relevance that might have. Because, you know, this whether it's appropriate or not appropriate, you know, I think that if we try and constrain our spending at council level, I'd also like to see whether NZOC can have a review of what their fees structures are or what have you, because if you don't need the money, you don't need the money. You know, it's like,
I think I better allow Frank and Roger to reply off that one. And then we will go for the straw poll.
I'm actually very happy to give council a guarantee that NZOC will be very carefully scrutinising the history. We've been very generous with our budgets up until now, because there have been a very large number of uncertainties within the last financial year, the DRS introduction.
Yeah.
Going forward, my discussions with Debbie will say no services, tighten it down. We have a very, very healthy war chest for litigation, yeah, Anita. We've got a pretty good idea of what the dispute resolution system is going to cost us, and we know pretty much what it costs for Debbie to run her office. So we can afford, in other words, to run over budget in some areas if we need to, because we have enough of the war chest to do that. So I'm quite happy to pledge that will be NZOC's.
Okay, thank you for that, Frank. Now I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, Frank, if you'd start off, I'm going to go around the table. I'm going to ask everybody just to say whether they're in favour of expansion, contraction, or status quo. Keith?
Could you just get hands up for expansion, contraction?
Yeah. Yeah, well, whatever.
We'll go around. If
yeah.
Want to say why.
I don't want a long speech.
Okay. It'd be inconsistent if I didn't say contraction.
So thank you. That. Jennifer?
Status quo.
Jamie?
Status quo.
Johnny?
Status quo.
Shoot a few. Yep, fine. I'm in status quo as well. David?
Sorry.
Yep.
Status quo.
Yeah,
Michael?
Hey,
how about the
North
expansion?
Status quo.
Simon's
in
perfect. Hang on, because I'll bump the wall instead. You missed
DF
and
WNC, you
said.
You've
got
CS. Or whatever.
MW.
Simon?
Expansion.
With Frank's explanation, I'll go with status quo.
Well, it seems to
me that Frank's Alan picture wrong.
What else is
there? I did suggest earlier that we should seat the two next to each other, and there'd be mutual annihilation. Jordan?
Is it just worth mentioning, for the benefit of the new councillors who may not know this, that the DNC's office is off this budget.
Yeah.
It's funded completely separately by management fee from NZIS.
Yes.
Which is not part of the dividend, yeah. So it doesn't form part of these discussions.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right. So
I'd like to
wrap this up now. I believe that we've done enough here. We've got a a very strong majority in favour of the status quo, and I intend to put a motion to that effect.
Three recommendations.
Where are they?
On the bottom of page 4.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm suggesting that we have the budget at 1.9 million.
What are you doing
with
these
2,000?
Oh,
perhaps a treasurer might want to put these. Is that, would that be reasonable?
Yeah, I'm happy to
move them.
Page 55.
So I'll move the council to spend on the 2007-2008 budget at $1.9 million.
Yep, you seconding, was it, Mark?
Yep.
Yes. I put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Frank, thank you. No others. Simon? Yes, thank you. Abstentions? Thank you very much. That was you've got that, Susie. Next one.
Against.
Against was Simon and Frank. Next one, please.
For the first time on the same day, the new council director requires NZRS and NZOCF a spending envelope simplifying the council intends to substantially fund the spending for the 2007-2008 NZRS dividend.
I'll second that first. Yes, yes. Did you get that? And seconded by Chris. David?
Just speaking briefly to it, when we communicate this through, so NZRS don't read this and walk in a $1.9 million dividend, it would be useful to give them an estimate of there's probably $200,000 of other income. So they can pop 1.7, not 1.9.
Indeed. You manage that carefully, yes. Yes, I'm sure the ED will do that. It seems to me this is procedural, and even if you disagree with the actual quantum of the number involved, that it would be hard to disagree with this motion. But in any case, I'm now going to put that motion and say all those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
What are we voting for?
We're
telling you
about it. We're just empowering the ED to tell NZRS what's being decided.
And NZOC.
And NZOC.
Formally.
Thank you. Anybody voting against? Abstaining? Thank you very much. Michael?
That committee should meet to consider the financial requirements for 2006-2007.
Wrong budget.
Budget, perhaps? And
yes.
Assume any new projects that will require funding, old projects that will cease to require funding, any other budget matters in preparation for a council workshop in 2007-2008 budget at the December council meeting.
I'll second it, but I've got an amendment I wish to make.
Well, do you want to tell us what the amendment is?
The amendment is that we do not. Why are we saying that? Now, technically speaking, two committees. One is the entire Council of Public Policy. The other is the entire Council of Public Policy. So, are you not saying task forces or what?
The committees can feel free to consult what their target teams, task forces, and so on. Compendium. It's not restricted to committees.
I wouldn't see that as an obligation on committee chairs and the executive director to ensure that the committees produce their output.
It's looking at two people in particular to ensure that they'll
get the output.
Well, I think that's a motion well worth putting, actually. I'll put that motion. All those in favour?
What's the motion?
Hang on.
The motion was that
the committee should meet to consider their financial requirements for 2007-2008 budget and determine any new projects that require funding, old projects that will cease to require funding, and any other budget matters in preparation for a council workshop on the 2007-2008 budget at the December council meeting. Thank you.
And I seconded.
It was seconded, yes. I'm putting the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Abstentions? Thank you very much indeed. Now,
I have one question just in closing.
Yes?
The structural review, the outcomes from that, when will that impact in which year's budget? What's the feeling on that?
Depends what the outcomes are. We can't predetermine the outcomes.
There may be no impact.
We have, in the status quo budget, allowed some money for continue work in the structural review, if you like. But, you know, if the decision of the structural review is to wind up NZRS and run it as a committee without the DNC and save $300,000 a year tax, it's a legitimate decision. Whatever. But that's a very different scenario. Can't predict it.
But the timetable for the structural review hasn't changed. Is that correct?
No.
The timetable still sits, and any changes, if there are any changes, will be agreed to at next year's AGM.
Well, no, it could well be agreed to before the AGM. So if there's a change to how you elect officers, elections, they'll work under the new rules rather than the old. So really, the March, April
council
should be signed off.
Which should be considering the outcomes then.
I think the draft report is due for December, and I think the final report is due for February.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
So just the final comment here is that if there are any outcomes from the structural review, we will be aware of them and possibly any financial implications before we set. Going back to the timetable here.
Before we set the final business plan.
Yeah, right. Before we set the final budget, though.
Well, February should be. That's probably when we'd
say. So that's not even worth talking about. You don't know.
That's right.
We want a draft budget completed by the next meeting. Let's go back to the timetable.
Yeah.
things.
Okay. We want a council workshop on the budget at the next meeting. That's us presenting you with an initial draft. More committee input, you're signing off on it all. Members' consultation in February, and you signing off on the final budget at the March council.
So if in February a structural review came out and, let's say, it decided to chop council to four people, you would work back into the budget automatically for next year in terms of cost savings.
With respect, if the structural review came back and said that, then we would enter into quite a long period of consultation with members for constitutional change. Because members may not know.
Assuming that's happened, December the draft comes out, as in December we'll start consulting members.
Thanks. Thanks. We've been through this item. Thank you very much. I'm really pleased that we've got through this, and I trust that it's going to make our budgeting process a lot better this year round. I'm now going to leave the meeting. Sorry about that. David's going to pick up the chair. There are two remaining items. There's Keith's report on ICTNZ, and there's a piece of general business from Mark. Thank you all very much.
Is it worthwhile having a 5-minute break to clear our heads?
It's 5:30, and we've probably got a few.
5:20. Well, I'll be guided. How many people want a break? Hands up. How many people want to carry on?
I think
we've got 20 minutes to go. We really should carry on.
Okay. Okay. I think the ICTNZ paper is in front of you. I've really tried to give you and apologies to those who found it too Janet and John, but I thought I'd give you a very Janet and John approach to this particular subject, to walk through how it evolved, why it evolved, and where it's at now. I think I've tried to also give you a bit of a SWOT analysis following on from that to encourage you to think about the strategic sort of position of engaging or not engaging with ICTNZ. Then, given some basic tenets along the way that we need to accept as part of the proposal of engagement, that tenet one is that our opportunity to influence ICTNZ's strategy and direction will diminish over time. As it establishes, the later you get in, the less influence you can have. That as more organisations merge into ICTNZ, the value proposition for engagement will increasingly clarify. So as it comes together, we'll get a better picture of what we're buying. And then tenet three, that InternetNZ does not foresee engagement with ICTNZ that involves a redelegation of .nz. Taken as read, there's a firewall around .nz, can't be redelegated. I'm assuming that you would agree with those tenets, principles. And then I've painted some different scenarios for you to consider. I've given you some background on ICTNZ and also the current PowerPoint presentation from ICTNZ in terms of their roadshow and how they project structure. Now, it probably needs a bit of talking to, so I'm quite prepared to put up the presentation and have a bit of a discussion on that.
Yeah.
But I think just before I do, I'll update you on this morning's board meeting for the ICTNZ and just give you an idea on a couple of aspects of where it's heading and who's engaging and who's not. As at today, ITANS and its members are joining us, individual members, and all of ITANS's finances, which is ending up to be $40,000 to $50,000, is coming across to ICTNZ. $17,500 from Software Association, and they're already merged and ready to go. The Computer Society advise they've got ongoing consultation with their members and confident of closure by year end. The health IT sector are committed as an entity to join, so not their individual members, but an entity supporter.
So, just on that one, when you say joining as an entity, are they joining as a
sponsor? Well, I've been told entity, so I can't.
But what category of membership would you
that would be the sort of the likely
method of engagement would be as a sponsor organisation?
Is the health IT sector?
Basically,
the cluster.
Sorry, I can't hear.
They're a cluster, I think.
So who's joining? Do they exist as a formal legal entity?
I don't think they're a formal legal entity. I think they're called a cluster.
Then who's joining?
I think the people who call themselves that.
I think that you'll find it might be a commitment of principle and they don't have any backup for it. I think that that's just a... Okay, here I am. Sorry, I just think that that's too glib a throwaway line, Keith.
Hang on.
I really do.
No, Mark.
Okay, you can think what you like. Okay, this is what's been reported from the meeting today. The people who were representing the health IT cluster said that. The woman in technology, WIT, are clearly now supportive and seeking further interaction with ICTNZ. The Wireless and Broadband Forum, their members are verbally committed to joining us. ITT Auckland, which is a North Shore ICT cluster, has a handful of members, will be joining at the end of the year when their current membership structure runs out. The Canterbury Software Association, supportive and finding a way forward. And the Web Designers Association of New Zealand, Dennis Smith, and 85 members seeking more information and keen to join. So that was the report.
I'd be worried about any organisation that Mr. Smith wanted to join.
Hang on.
We're on the record here.
So you said you
I'm quite happy.
Each of these become members or they merge?
As I said, in each instance, ITANS and Software Association, its members merge. And the organisation is assigning its funds. The Health IT, it's an entity membership. You know, each is different. The Computer Society, it's members signing in and
so perhaps the crucial thing is how many are doing a full merge? Two? Software and ITANS, is that?
Two are absolutely committed and done, and Computer Society believes it will. Women in technology are heading down that track.
Yeah. To the full merger option.
Keith, can I ask, do you know of the various organisations, which ones are pretty much anti, to your knowledge?
I guess the people who aren't there or not engaging are probably, I don't know if they're anti or not aware, but two ends might fit in that category. I don't know where they are, for example. So, no, I don't know.
I mean, two ends is in it will be always the exception. They are saying they don't join anybody, they're users, they cannot be part of this group. So, I think two ends is always going to be ring fenced.
Yeah. Okay, and I think there's. The current work in front of them is that they're advertising for an executive director at the moment. They have funding to carry that position for up to 12 months from government. And I think they're going to apply to MED for business plan funding for the first or the next 6 months. And constitutional changes were agreed by the meeting today to allow for individual membership. Up until now it was only organisational membership allowed. So there is some significant movement. I think what that points to is there is some significant movement by the industry to be more willing to engage. It's not a hook or a lure, but remember our tenets that if we want to engage and engage on our terms, the sooner we do that, the more influence we'll have. If we're still unsure that there is any purpose in engagement, then if we get to the end of the road and there is no method of engagement other than here's, you know, this is the package, you join on these terms and conditions, you know, we can't go back in time and say we should have joined now. And thirdly, that nothing that we do puts .nz at risk of delegation. So, notwithstanding that, I've painted four scenarios for you. One is a fullish engagement, and that's not a full engagement in terms of the ICTNZ or Software Association engagement, but where we could freeze our membership at its current level and convert the members to some form of trustees so that we can continue as an incorporated society that runs the .nz delegation. And then we could formally move to supporting ICGNZ and running forums within that. The not a particularly attractive model, but the advantage that would give us would be to fully participate in the ICGNZ forums, which are quite an important aspect if we want to do fuller consultation in terms of policy items. Scenario two, minimal engagement. We could be a corporate member, $5,000, there you go, we're just supporting. We could have a medium engagement, which would be the sponsor organisation plus all of council signed up as individual members, so that you could assess from the inside whether there's a bang for the buck to engage. There's also the sort of questionable ethics engagement, I guess, that is where we could advertise, if you join InternetNZ and ICGNZ, that you get a discount. So it'll be cheaper to join both than it would be to join ICGNZ. What that could do is cause members of the other organisations to come through our door, and we could count them as members, but they're using that as a vehicle to achieve a discount to get an ICGNZ. That's why that's a bit questionable. And then scenario three is least engagement. That would be just do nothing, require me to resign from the board, or just keep a watching role and see what cooks in the fullness of time. And so various scenarios. I don't have any particular vested interest in any of them. I think, though, it is getting obvious that it's starting to get traction. There's still probably not a clear picture of what the outcomes or the attractiveness of the organisation is. Now, can I, or shall I skip you quickly through this?
I think we want, do we need to hear more? Do people want to discuss? I think we've laid out some good options for us.
I think it's missed out one, the ICGNZ model.
Probably that in terms of the fullness of engagement, there's one slide, if I could, David, but there's one slide in particular that needs to be looked at. And that's really the governance and reporting structure for the organisation. And just to fill that in, the members would elect the ICGNZ board. So if you're a member of the organisation, you get a vote. If you're a corporate member, you get more votes, depending on the level of corporate membership. So people like Microsoft could effectively be getting 10,000 votes or something like that. I think it's in there somewhere, but significant votes if you're paying significant amounts.
100 votes.
Yeah, and if you join as an individual, one vote. The board employs the executive director who runs the admin office, and the admin office could well be comprised of people like the Computer Society, Doug White, and the Secretariat, putting in there. They'll pick the eyes out of various, here's the best membership database that we've got from the organisations we'll use that and so on. And then the forums are specific forums. If we wanted to have a forum of our own, it would probably be called Internet Governance or some generic term like that. We could run a number of streams within that forum. The forum is really the consultation group or the participation group or the working group to get us something thrashed out and consulted on and gathered. Each of the forums will have a forum executive, which is a paid position. I think it's reported by missing or not. That's right. The forum executive report to the executive nominees who effectively are advisory. So it's a reasonably complex structure, but the issue that we should concentrate on is if we want a vehicle to do consultation in a broader sense, we should consider having our own forum, and we can't buy a forum through being a corporate sponsor.
Keith, just to clarify, if we saw the value of, let's say, having an IPv6 forum under the umbrella of ICTNZ, for an ANUM forum?
Well, we would have
we couldn't do that as a corporate sponsor.
We couldn't do that. We probably could right now if we said we will engage our council as 14 individual members and as a sponsor. We could probably run a narrow forum that's more about mail list consensus driven decision making.
But the key thing here is that let's use that as an example, IPv6 forum, because it's very current.
Yep.
It's a pan-industry issue, it's not an Internet New Zealand issue.
Yep.
And so for people who are members of ICNTNZ, when they sign up for their $200,
yep,
they tick off, I want to be on,
yep,
this forum, the IPv6 forum, the Java forum, and something else.
Yep, exactly. Well, it probably wouldn't be called the IPv6 forum, it might be the Internet rules, or think of a name that you want to call it, your forum. And from that, there could be any number of streams, including IPv6.
So there's one forum per organisation that's merged.
Not necessarily, that's not predetermined, but generally they want to run work streams under headings. So Computer Society is more concerned, for example, about professional development of computer professional. So they want to run a forum and then have streams for open source and other things.
I thought at this point, though, it's still very fluid.
It is. We could influence that too.
I thought if we put up, or an organization put up, a strong enough argument, and I'm using, oh, you go back to my version of IPv6, where I'm saying, no, actually, this is not just a work stream, it should be a forum. And if we put the argument up to, I don't know where these decisions are made, maybe at the board level.
The board sits on forums.
Yeah.
Is it the board that actually decides on
yes.
the forums?
Well, in the absence of anyone else, currently all of this is a board. But I think in the fullness of time, we would feed ideas through the executive director to say, look, there's this new thing called email and we need a forum on that. So, reasonably fluid, but I think don't get too hung up. This is a term in the absence of a pivot rather than this is a forum and we're going to have to meet once a year or whatever your understanding of a forum is. This is a conceptual line of separation, but the stuff that happens in here is different from the stuff that happens in this.
Okay, Keith, let's take more comments from others. Any other comments? Johnny?
This whole ICTNZ thing, the theory is quite nice, but it's, in practice, is it really going to fly?
It's a $64,000 question. I think.
I guess it adds that for $200 a year, I go for IEEE membership.
Well, we're talking about a New Zealand-wide organisation only.
What does it achieve?
From an individual perspective, that's for you to evaluate and say there's a value proposition or there isn't. And right now, organisationally, that's the struggle that we have. It doesn't represent an actual useful outcome for this organisation, except that we have a desire to consult more broadly on issues, and if we can buy a forum, we can do that.
Okay, and Jamie, and then Chris, then Michael.
An observation I'd like to make here for a start, which is I think ICTNZ came about originally because of the government's desire to have a single interface with industry.
Indeed.
That goes in part to your question, I think. But one other question I have that you might want to discuss is what scope could we potentially have to alter our engagement options through our discussions with New Zealand government?
What scope could this alter? What could happen?
On the one hand, we've got a discussion item going on about engaging with New Zealand government. Related to .nz primarily, that potentially could be a little bit broader than .nz. And at the end of the day, it's a discussion about Internet New Zealand. Component of that is .nz. Could we alter our engagement scenarios with ICTNZ?
If you wanted to influence the way you want to engage with ICTNZ, there's no better time than now. If ICTNZ is going to have an impact on government, the possibility exists that at one day we'll go knocking on a minister's office door, or the next time we host an ICANN meeting we'll go knocking on Frank's door for funding, and we'll be just told to piss off, that this is
out of scope.
Where that this is out of scope, and the only institute that government deals with for funding or for negotiations is ICTNZ. You were warned, go away, go join that organisation.
Well, I've been there, done that. I've been in an organisation that was set up because government wanted one voice to talk to, and the intention was to accumulate all the other organisations in New Zealand into this one entity, this one body. That one body had no idea where it was going, and as far as I know, it still doesn't have any idea where it's going after all these years. I think government would always only like one voice to talk to in everything. That's really what they like. They don't like having to talk to 56, 500, 350 different organisations on some particular issue. So I don't think that's necessarily a compelling reason for its existence, in my view. I would say that going and looking at their website, picking up on Johnny's point, what is it there for? It's there to promote the interests of industry overseas more than anything else. Looking at their website, that's what they claim, and that's what's on their website. It may not still be true, and we may be able to influence that and all that, but nevertheless, looking at the website, that's what it says. So I'm personally not very keen on Internet NZ's involvement in this organisation, certainly not at this time, for two reasons. One, we commit ourselves too strongly, we may find it impossible to withdraw. But secondly, we're in the process of a structural review that may massively change how this organisation functions and what we think this organisation should be like. What's the point of going through a structural review that gives us a whole new structure and then involving ourselves in something else altogether?
Okay, thanks, Chris. Just I'll come back to you at the end.
Oh, could I respond while the items are hot? I think, Chris, it's really important to note that the website was set up for a purpose some time ago, and it's going through a massive revision, including the membership forms and so on currently, and it has a different shape and flavour to reflect the constitution as well. So I think the original driver was the Software Association of New Zealand, who are an outward-focused international deal. So it's changed, it's different to them. I think also you're sort of commenting that because it lacks purpose, what is the purpose that we want to achieve? And then I think finally that you're suggesting that the structural review might circumvent this. This is no different to us being, if we join as a corporate member and join council as individual members, you can resign at any time. This is no different to us being a paid up member of ISOC or anything else that we do now. You can walk on this at any time and you're not trading off .nz.
How are they trying to conclude the bag? On the speaking list, Mark, then Michael S, then Michael W. Signal now, Johnny, if you want to speak. Then I'll then close off the list, Johnny, then Simon. Then I'll go back to Keith for final comments. And then we'll take a straw poll, not a binding poll, on those options. So that's where I'm heading towards, Mark.
Okay, given that our straw poll, binding poll, or whatever, is kind of irrelevant to the members discussing. I agree with Chris about structural review. I see some issues there in terms of engaging at one level and then finding when I'm going to do it or not able to do it. I worry about, if people worry before about engaging with government, then should we not worry about getting into bed with the government's maidservant? Because that's what this is. Government's setting this up. It's funding the executive director, we've been told. It wants a single voice. I worry from the democratic process perspective about the lack of diversity of voices speaking to government about industry things, because I can't see this achieving any sort of uniform voice, nor can I see the board letting forums speak for themselves, because boards just don't work that way. It's not the way they're wired to think. I'm worried about the fact that our members know nothing about this, and that unfortunately it's really a beltway issue at the moment in terms of us talking to other IT organisations
But our members have no knowledge of this at all, I don't think. I really don't. You noted in your piece, Keith, about other organisations such as the lawyers, accountants, engineers, professional. Well, yeah, professional. There is a legal status of professional, and we don't meet it in the IT industry, generally speaking. We can consider ourselves professional, but a lot of these organisations have regulatory functions which are built into Acts of Parliament. We don't have that, and I don't see that this ever getting there. I don't see this group actually ever being able to make a decision on that. IT is a tool. It's not a profession, it's a tool. We have different professions within that tool. Some people are engineers, some people are administrators, some people are lawyers working on internet issues or IT issues, but it's just a damn tool. So I put notes all through this document of yours, Keith. I'm really not happy with it at all. I'm not happy with the idea of it less than the document. I'm not happy with us being involved. I think that we should be withdrawn completely.
Okay, we'll come to that option shortly. Michael West.
We've been watching this go on for a number of years now. Is that fair comment? About 2 years we've been.
Well, I think if you've read the paper, yeah, you'll see that we established ECTIS to try and be an umbrella organisation, and this came about possibly as a trigger from that.
And we previously tried to do that in 19...
I'm going to put it this way. I agree about democracy and diversity. You need diversity for a democracy to work. I would prefer minimal, because I haven't seen over the period of time that we've been engaged in it, the reasons why we should really accelerate this process. I'm not buying into it. I'm just not buying into it. I think that Internet New Zealand has a very specific and special purpose and role in the New Zealand fabric of the internet and what have you. And I don't want to see Internet New Zealand being risked in any way by participating in a startup like this. But I wouldn't necessarily object to us being involved as a corporate member or councillors being members of this organisation. But I wouldn't want to pour our organisation into this organisation. Okay.
Thank you. Michael W.
Okay.
Notes, this looks on the list.
Yeah. Sorry. So, I'll try and make this as soon as possible. I think the ICTNZ concept and the proposal, the structure proposed, fundamentally flawed both in terms of our objectives, our participation, and the objectives that have been stated for the government. ICTNZ objective on, it's written here on the slide, developing, growing, and promoting New Zealand's ICT people, ICT companies, and ICT industry. Laudable objective to support it. Our objective is to promote and protect the internet for New Zealand. One of the tenets Keith's put forward is that as time goes by, we have less influence to influence the form, shape of ICT New Zealand. I guess what I would question is whether we actually have any influence now and make the assumption we have some influence now. I think the ICT New Zealand model is fundamentally flawed, but I question whether it's up for debate. If it's up for debate, it might be worth us pursuing an angle of engagement and trying to reshape the shape of ICTNZ. If it's not up for debate, then I have some concerns about the nature of our participation. Whether we love it or hate it, if the model is not up for debate, I think we're wasting our time having our executive director, who is our single most important resource in terms of staff time, spending effort getting on board of ICTNZ. If all that our presence in terms of being on board is done as watching, then I think that's a valuable strategic asset, and it's going to be better spent doing other things. If you accept some of the assumptions in the paper that one of the reasons that this is being set up is government wishes to have a single voice for industry, and that over time if ICTNZ is successful, InternetNZ might find the door closed to it as an advocate to government, then I consider it a serious and competitive threat, because one of our core competencies and the thing we've invested most of our effort in the last 12 to 18 months is advocating to government on public policy. And I have some very serious concerns about where we might end up on that. So I do think it relates, I think Jamie made the point, this does relate to our conversation earlier about our relationship over .nz with the New Zealand government. And one of the things I would be seeking to address from our side is to make sure that if that was a serious concern, and I'm not sure how serious a real concern it is that we move to get ourselves some guarantees on this point. On the model, I have a real problem if this is the one voice of the government about public policy, being involved in an organisation where I, as an individual member, or Internet NZ as a corporate member, would have, in the case of me, one vote, or Internet NZ, about 25 votes, and Telecom and Telstra would have 100 votes each.
Yeah.
I hate to think how we would have functioned. So, in terms of the options, option one...
More come.
Can I just say, I won't go into what I think of the options. I think there are two other options that should be under consideration. One is that we seek to influence the form of ICTV. There's three. Another option that's available to us, and that we should advocate, is to sort of actively disengage. We could be hostile to ICTV's existence of three. And the sixth one is similar as we could engage the government over ICTV's. Either in relation to our conversations over the NZ, or in terms of our relationship with government.
Okay, Johnny, then Simon, and then I.
Excuse me, I was going to say I have to go because I've got a 6 o'clock.
Thank you, Jennifer. We realise you're out of time.
His name, I'm not convinced that I can use a pendulum.
Is there any of those options there which would be your preferred one?
No.
I'm skeptical.
So there is an option there that says we shouldn't engage, we should withdraw, Jennifer.
Well, actually,
which is your most preferred option?
That's okay. No, we don't need it. I've got enough of a feel from Jennifer.
Okay, thanks.
For that. Johnny.
I was just going to say that you end up with these multiple forums, associations, clubs, whatever you want to call them, for a very good reason. That's because you get clusters of people that feel the same way.
Yeah.
And you have something like ICTNZ already, if enough people all felt the same way. So it's going to be. It's going to be pretty hard getting that. Get a large enough bunch of people working together on very, very broad aims. Okay.
Simon?
Briefly. I must admit I'm disappointed with most of the comments. It's me making a valid judgment, but that's the way I feel. I think two main issues. I think the fact that we can continue to be an island unto ourselves and not have be developing strong relationships with the industry as a whole. I think you have to think quite carefully about the consequences of that. We take great delight in. Are we recording?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can't say that. About a certain organization who refuses to work with anybody. And mind you, that hopefully we've broken that barrier over the last couple of months. So I think I just ask people to be aware of that we are quite critical of certain organizations who we find it very difficult to work with. And I just, the reason why I was made the value judgment about some of the comments started to actually say, well, we don't want to work with anybody. We don't want to have a relationship with other industry siblings. And I just...
I didn't get it.
That's the way I interpreted it.
It came
through very clearly.
Okay,
can I just finish?
Yeah.
What I think would be most useful out of this discussion is that what would be a win-win for us, and I really haven't heard that. Now, if people don't think there isn't a win-win that can be created, and not even looking at the options that Keith has put together, is there a win-win that we can actually say to Keith, here's, if we were going to be engaging, whatever little, I think we can all agree that the notion of merging with ICTNZ is just not open to debate. The question is there a win-win that we can collectively see in terms of a relationship with ICTNZ? We've heard a lot of negative comments. I'm just asking, are there anything positive things we can say? I don't know. I haven't heard anything positive, and that's what concerns me. Is that so my version of a win-win here is that the ideal thing, and I guess, Keith, this is the view here, is that there should be another membership category that sits between the merged, the concept of an entity merging like ITANS and software, and sponsorship, which I'll call the partnership category. And I think we're the odd couple along with NZCS. We want a relationship. There is no way we're going to merge. But we don't want to be a sponsor like Microsoft. But we want to be seen as supporting the organization, and we can decide what level of that support there is. So I call it a partnership category. So that's one category for my win-win. The other category for win-win is to say, has the option for our members to say, hey, you can join Internet New Zealand for whatever our new price is, $20. However, you can also tick the box that if you want to become a member of ICTNZ, that will cost you $180 or something like that. So there's a bit of a value proposition. That might have very, very limited traction, but it also would give you as a member access to all these other forums. It would be a choice. As Johnny says, $200, I get more value out of IEEE. Fantastic. Not an issue. This is not an issue. So for me, if I look at a win-win for Internet New Zealand, a partnership kind of arrangement, and that means that we have access, we can vote, we participate at the board level or if we choose to, and is there a value for some members to be part of this? That's all I ask.
So you're talking about a different engagement scenario?
Yeah, but I think part of the discussion today is to try and give Keith a very clear steer on what our desires are, not the negativity. What is a desire that we have if there is a win-win? If anybody else has a win-win kind of thing, I would love to hear it. And I'm sorry if I made the value judgment about all the negative comments, but quite frankly, I haven't heard anything else.
We run out of time here. I will allow for Frank has unspoken yet, and I'll hand over to Keith in a second to respond. I've looked at these five options, and again, this will just be a straw poll. I think they complicate things to a degree, so I strike two of them out so we get a better feeling in the council. What I'm going to ask for people to say what they support is scenario one, full engagement, where we leave a shell behind to protect .nz, we try and merge everything else in. Scenario two is basically minimal engagement. We remain a corporate member. We are a corporate member, just like we belong to ISOC, we belong to APTLD. It's that level of involvement. We can later on refine, do we want to encourage councillors and members to take out some individual membership too. But that's a refinement of, as an institution, we're just a corporate member. And then scenario three, least engagement, which is start to disengage, maybe even withdraw, do not renew the corporate membership. Are people happy? That will be the three options I'll put to a straw poll to just get a feeling.
What about picking up on Simon's point in my earlier about seeking to influence the form of life, the structure of life, which means if you like looking for that win-win, should that be
or, an option? Yeah. That then comes under part of scenario two. Yes. We remain a corporate member so we can influence them. If you go for least engagement, it means we've given up. If you go for full engagement, it means you're happy for us to be merging in. Anyway, we'll go to Keith, who's got, if he's got anything to respond to. Do you want to have another go, Mark?
Well,
I think I was just going to respond to the questions raised, because I think there's some fears there that perhaps need addressing. Mark was suggesting the members need to be approached. Naturally enough, the decision that you make today would be taken forward to members before we actually engage. Yeah. We have to start somewhere.
Well, I'm glad you gave that guarantee.
No, goes without saying. This is not the decision to engage. This is the decision that expresses your desire. You've asked for a paper on what is the proposition for ICTNZ. I've served that to you. Whatever you want to do as an outcome of that is your instruction to me. But rest assured that if it is something that affects the membership, it has to go to the membership. Yeah, that's a given. Okay, Michael asked a very right question, and that is, could we get more influence now? And I think the answer is, yes, it's more likely we could get more influence now than leaving it till later. So that's.
But do we have, that's actually not the question.
Sorry?
Do we have influence now?
We do have some ability to influence now.
But indirectly over ICTNZ.
The question was based around the model. Is the model open for discussion, and can we influence the model?
Is that model open for discussion? I would suggest that if you said, we want to commit this much money in this form to ICTNZ, whatever that is, and we want this particular piece of ICTNZ to operate in this form and with this functionality as our broad consultation process, or whatever it is that you desire, then you could probably do that. So there is some ability, and seriously, that will diminish over time, your ability to buy that. But remember, this is a model that also requires itself to pay for itself, so you're not going to get something for
nothing. Okay, thanks.
I think my suggestion to you is that you should want to keep the door open in any case. And Simon, I think, painted the picture of a partnership option. And I have had a discussion along those lines with a couple of the ICTNZ board who are also enigmatically sitting around a table saying, what's the value proposition? I mean, you know, there's no kind of hidden agenda about, oh, we get all these guys in and we take all their money and take .nz and then, you know, land there. Yeah, they're also struggling to make this thing grow arms and legs and develop. But the partnership option, I think, would have been a very real option if it had been raised 6 months ago. It's probably a difficult option to bring in with the voting and relationships that they've sort of started now, so it may be too hard. However, if we came up and said we wanted this option, and we're prepared to put $50,000 a year into this organisation, and we want this as a forum, and we want that, then they'd probably reconsider. But rather than going back and saying, maybe you could explore a partnership option, it's probably
too. It needs to be something specific.
Yeah, concrete.
You're saying.
Okay. Yeah. And just on Simon's last point, the questionable ethics model came up. If we offer a discount, people elect as individual members who they're coming through. If they're coming through us, InternetNZ, they get a discount, you might find they'll neglect their member organisations whose forums won't get the funding, because we're offering a greater deal. So I think there is a questionable ethic around that.
Frank?
Yeah, I don't know how relevant my comments are, but it seems to me that we have no option here, really. S1 and S3 are out, and none of us are happy about any of the S2 options, really. I mean, and I think comments from Simon and Michael have indicated that we're not particularly happy. We'd like to go on exploring other options, and we have to do that within the parameters, basically, to keep that in mind. And we can only do that if we continue with engagement. I think that there is a massive mismatch between the objectives of many of the organisations here, NZCS, ourselves, 2AMS, and the core organisations that are looking into here. And traditionally there has always been a huge split between the ITAMs, people who are dominated by the $100 million plus companies who funded ITAMs and now for one reason or another have lost interest in them, who are basically out just selling into New Zealand their overseas products. And the incipient industries in New Zealand, their software association, the Hero Services Association, and so on, they're desperately trying to grow a New Zealand ICT industry. And then you've got all the other groups like WIP and so on who are looking at the ICT skilled force, you know, skills. It's a hopeless mess. It's never going to be brought together in a coherent single entity. This, in that sense, is never going to fly. But if we stand outside it and just throw bricks at it, you know, I think we open ourselves to criticism from our members and from others that, you know, we're not participating, we're not trying to move our own objectives forward. So I think we have to find a little way. I don't know what that is, but I'd like us to authorise, to give Keith the authorisation to proceed, to try and find something. Secondly, we're not necessarily happy with any of the current scenarios, but carry on and see where we can get to. And at least give him the strength to do that. We can authorise that from council. We don't have to consult with the members. We can tell our members that we're doing that because we can see possibility of a value proposition. We're not committing to it.
Well, I'm sorry, if the board can, if their board can't see a value proposition, how are we supposed to?
But, you know, this is, it's not going to cost us a lot to do this. It's going to cost us a hell of a lot, and I believe we don't.
So what you're suggesting is status quo?
Yeah.
Just the same continuation that we currently
have. But with our blessing. You know, a strong blessing for Keith to continue.
Okay, I think the question, the first question is it full, partial, or none at those ends of the scale? And if we get, I'm predicting that we'll probably get to partial.
Let's take that through there. First, I want to show of hands, what is anyone in favour of scenario one, which isn't a total merger, but it merge as much as you can without risking the .NZ delegation. Hands up. Okay, I'd like us to note that we should communicate this through, if we stay involved in any way, that no amount of how they structure that is going looks acceptable to this council. We have no interest in giving up our primary identity. Is that a fair reflection of council communities? That trying to engage with them on that issue is a waste of time.
Can I just make a small comment?
Yeah.
The kinds of organisations that are joining ICTNZ, I feel, run an opposite to one of our core strategies. It's around technical development and innovation. This is about large overseas companies selling their stuff in New Zealand.
No. I think
small New Zealand.
Okay, we've got 0 for number one. Scenario two, briefly, is we are currently a member of ICTNZ. They have now structured it so you can be the only ones who could join up till now were corporates. They're now going to allow individuals. This is saying we should remain a corporate member and we should have the appropriate level of engagement that goes with being a corporate member, just as we're a member of ISOC, of AP course, etc. You know, you're not necessarily endorsing everything they do, but you're saying we think you're trying to do some good stuff and we'd like to support you in that. Can I have a show of hands for those who favour ongoing corporate membership?
Yeah, 2A. Yeah.
2A, effectively.
2.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm going to just put my hand for any option 2.
Okay, yeah.
But with flexibility.
Yes. Yeah. No, this is a straw one. It's not saying we're ruling now that we get quite actively involved and we try and get councillors involved. It's saying we're comfortable with corporate membership.
Can I say that I would very much object to us agreeing to scenario 2C, that question?
I'm not putting 2B or C to a vote. Last one is scenario 3, which is at a minimum we just wait. Well, you could read 3 as being we remain a member but just don't do anything with it. I think effectively that's actually saying we wouldn't renew our membership, we're not getting any value from it. This is just, you know, we want nothing to do with these guys, it's not going to work. How many people think?
What is the membership cost?
$5,000 a year. I think scenario 3 is what we should consider doing. Hands up. One person there, and obviously we've got 2 or 3 who.
Well, I was going for 2B for a specific reason.
Yeah.
Really, that got engagement at a personal level.
If you go for 2B, you should say you were.
But I also think that if this doesn't work out, you know, in the near term, we're out here.
Okay.
So you're in 2.x.
I'm in 2B, not 2C. And,
no.
Okay. And, I mean, it's a specific reason why.
Yeah. My reading of this is we make it very clear, any form of merger talk, you're wasting our time. We will remain a member if there are opportunities to come up with things which will work better for us than just being a corporate member, whether it's a partnership or that, we'll be interested in those as they come along. And, you know, we hope they succeed, but this isn't our number one business, making them try to bring industry together. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah,
is that enough guidance for you, Kevin?
I think that's being a bit unfair on ICKZ, because there's no expectation from them that we would merge. The option is ours to choose our method of engagement. It's not a
but it means we will not be having that debate about merging.
But Keith,
I just something radically changes.
But Keith, I just tried to construct something here, which is saying maybe in terms of the comfort zone, for our comfort zone, some sort of partnership category might be something we would want to explore more fully. And you said, well, actually, maybe we can have that discussion. But I don't know.
I was saying that to go to them and say, you need a partnership option, what's it going to cost us, is the wrong approach. If we went in and said, we want this new option called partnership option, here's the money you bring, this is what we want out.
I would think, Keith, as part of the normal requirement of you to have those discussions with all our siblings, I would think that you would be trying, you've got to steer from here, that you would feel that you've got some license there to explore that and come back when there's some, if there's any progress.
Okay. I think the other aspect in this that's really important to me is there is a golden opportunity to buy a port. You've committed a lot of money to members of this organisation, partly because of the credibility that members bring, but also the voice they bring to the table in terms of opinions on issues. You have an opportunity to reach into a group of people who are working with the computers, with the internet all the time. Is it worthwhile exploring a method by which we could achieve a
Very happy to consider a paper on what it would cost, what would be involved, potential topics.
Look for benefits.
Can I suggest that we put a write up on what we're asking Keith to go ahead with, and that is to explore options to advance our objectives within this organisation. And that would include the idea of a forum or any other idea of that sort, such as one Simon's provided. And that in as far as we can find models for working within this organisation, which advance our core objectives, which we have reiterated through our strategic planning exercise, they should be taken up and brought back to council as appropriate.
It's really important to get those principles, because I do hear people saying we should have nothing. No one's shouting from the rooftop that we have full engagement, but certainly a range of options is there. I've now got a better idea of where it is in the middle. What I would like to do, if I could, is at least signify to ICTNZ that we would be up for a corporate membership at $5,000, if nothing else. So it's the 2A model, I guess.
I see no reason we wouldn't be making that assumption in our business plan.
Would you tease that out?
To the members' approval on the business plan.
Would you tease that out a little further and suggest that as a value proposition for councillors for 14 individuals to be joined to the organisation?
Let's have that debate another time. That one you don't need.
I think it should be had. Now, I just find that if we join as a member, with a stamp saying we're a member, that's kind of like an experience to me. I would prefer to show that we're prepared to be engaged at a people level with this organisation and facilitate that process as well. That's why I'm saying if it was going to be just be a member and give them our brand, I'm even less inclined.
We're not going to have that today. It's something which doesn't have to be decided today. Can we note, though, to have that as an item for a future meeting, hopefully the December one? Okay, I'll close this item. We're on to general business. We have one item from Mark, overturning the ban. If you could speak briefly to why you think it should be overturned.
I want to use my laptop during meetings because I'd like to read from the screen rather than have to take it. I can have supporting documents with that. I have to carry a whole lot of them in my bag. I find the idea that having a laptop open in front of you necessitates the lack of participation in the meeting to be offensive to the person, and it reflects Colin's prejudices rather than any political reality.
Not make it personal.
No, okay, it reflects the president's prejudices without any
Okay. Is there anyone who wants to comment in favour of keeping the ban? Simon?
I think if you talk to anybody who, beginning with the IOD, about meetings and the dynamics of meetings, the fact that people, quote, think that they can multitask by sitting in front of a computer and participating in a meeting, I'm sorry, Mark, is in a fantasy land. I mean, it breaks every rule of wanting to have a face-to-face meeting. The habit of what counselors, I have seen some of the most obscene behavior of counselors using laptops to do everything thing by participating in meetings in the past, ever since I've been on council. The idea, you come to a meeting, I am engaged. We all think we can multitask. We don't multitask when you're having at a meeting. 63% of communication is nonverbal. That means I am listening to the person, I am looking, I'm not looking at that, I'm hearing Johnny, I'm looking at these people. If we want to have an effective meeting, I'm not saying ban laptops, quite happy to have them here, you can check your email. If ED says, by the way, check it in here, and we want to check it. But in terms of actually participating in the meeting, it is a myth, Mark, that if you think that you are engaged in a meeting with a laptop in front of you, unless it is a decision support software system where the meeting is being running off laptops, right? We haven't got to that point.
Okay. I'll just let you comment here. There are two issues. One is a total ban on laptops. Another is appropriate use of them during a meeting.
I'm just thinking about appropriate use of them.
Can I have someone else who would like to speak for repealing the ban? Frank.
I think it goes without saying, this is my normal workday talk. Now, I agree with Simon. No, it needs to be sitting in most of the time with the top down. They also need to be able to access.
I've not got no question, and I could quite happily, for instance, take a frank example. If you need to refer to something, lift the thing up. That's your work. That's your knowledge base. Quite appropriate.
Okay.
No problem there.
Okay, Jamie.
I have no problem whatsoever with having a laptop here. If I had a laptop here and we're having a meeting and we're discussing something and Simon went to me, look, Jamie, you're not paying attention, turn the bloody thing off. I'd have no problem with that. Because that's why we come here, like Simon says. We come here to have this face-to-face discussion. If you can't stay away from the crack, then it shouldn't be there, right? So I think we're all adults here. We can bring a laptop, we can use it when it's appropriate, and we can shut it down when it's appropriate. And if you can't take into account basic social signals from your peers that it's not appropriate behaviour, then...
Okay. Michael Weiss. Firstly, I think that people don't... In the past, I've seen just walls of laptop screens sitting there with people doing web browsing and browsing the news and everything like that, and nobody, apart from, I think, one occasion, in multiple meetings, ever said to that person, you're not doing appropriate work. I think I agree with having laptops on the table and available to open and shut, but basically they should be shut. You know, like if you're opening them up, you're opening them up to do something, you're not opening them up to basically doing stream of consciousness stuff. I'm going to vote against this unless it's totally appropriate.
But like, frankly, if I work on my laptop, that's what I do.
Can't we just all agree, as individuals here right now, that we'll work in a certain way together?
Well, at the moment, there is a total ban on opening the lid during meetings. So discussion is about whether that total ban gets replaced with no rules at all, or relaxing the ban but having some guidelines.
Jimmy's way of putting it is quite a good way. We replace the current policy with an agreement of councillors as adults that this is how we will use and not use laptops during meetings.
Yeah, and we must still feel free to say to someone, if you're not using the laptop appropriately, if they're being inappropriate.
Yeah.
Well, as somebody who had to endure 4 years of people reading their email, nudging people, hey, did you check this out, playing games, the idea that we can exercise self-discipline on this.
That's the
position you just promoting a minute ago. So what the position that Frank and Jamie has taken is exactly what you were suggesting, is that the laptop can be there, you know, if you get a phone call and it says, you can change a file or something, then deal with it. But
my problem is open laptops that are open all the time.
That's what you're saying.
I don't think anyone's
that is inappropriate.
Arguing for that. If I can just add my two cents worth, I put in, 15 hours a week at the moment to things, and that's fine. The part that kills me, days like today, where I come here at 9 a.m., I leave at 6 p.m., we had a 5-minute lunch break, 10-minute morning tea break, I lose heaps of money from clients not being able to reach me. Just the ability to be able to just respond to an email if you see the black breacher and emails come in, I have to respond to this person, makes all the difference between me being able to afford to keep doing that. And what I'm picking up is no one's finding too objectionable if counsellors occasionally have to go in to send an email, rebook a flight, etc. But what they don't want is what did happen in the past from a number of counsellors, where 14 people have the laptops open for the entire meeting. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, except that I use my laptop. I write stuff while I'm talking. I write stuff while I'm listening.
Well, I'm going to, without the need for a vote, declare that the consensus is that laptops can be used during meetings, but that councillors will be expected to not be disruptive, to have appropriate use for our participating, and that we welcome other councillors pointing out inappropriate use. Without quite saying, stand behind someone.
And if it all turns to crap, let's be dynamic about this, and it doesn't work, let's get back around this table and go, no, actually it's not working.
Yep.
It's not a hard decision.
We'll note that.
Social rules, we've got bigger problems.
Yes.
Well, however, if we go to the cost of flying people around the country to come to meetings like this, no other organization could afford to indulge in people coming from all around the country and spending their whole time answering the email, not engaged in a meeting. No organization could do that. And that's what we have been doing.
I think there's a clear understanding that that's
we're talking about things. Maybe
you're right. There's bigger problems
if work blows up. If work blows up, that's a pretty good thing to be paying to. But like others here, I keep track of everything on the laptop. Store the documents there and that sort of thing. Browsing that sort of thing is pretty relevant, but I might be using the chat or whatever like that.
Would have been quite good, for example. Personally, I haven't actually looked in detail at the ICTNZ site. I'm sorry, but I haven't. Would have been useful right now during this discussion. Just have a quick reference to
it. Can I just make an observation? Because this is not our debate to staff at all, because we can use our jobs because we have bastards. But in terms of my role as president, I think it was quite interesting to look at the dynamic of council meetings, particularly when they were really all-day meetings. And as you worked your way through the agenda, you could see people falling in and out of session. And that was generally where their interests were. Like, these are the ticks on the agenda of my key points. I'll engage then, otherwise I'm gone. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You still see it today. You see people falling in and out of session, but they might be playing with their cell phone or scribbling on the corner of the paper. So it's just an activity to say that not everything on the agenda is of real pertinence or relevance to me. So, it is a question of balance, I think. But I think people should be slated for abusing the
problem. The ethics chair notes Frank's already complying with the new policy.
There I am. Okay. I actually have to get onto an email before I go home.
Thank you for that. Has anyone got our last item of general business before next meetings? Good?
No, okay. I do. As well as next meetings, I'm absent from the 25th of October to the 17th of November, partly work, mainly holiday, and I'll be posting that on the council list. Most important to note, the next meeting dates, though, is next Friday, noon till 2 p.m., Villa LeBlanc Diagnostic with Westlake. And then if you can mark in your diary, if you have no other engagements, to be here from the evening of Friday the 15th through Saturday 16th, at Boyle Christmas party.
We're sleeping bags.
Can do. You've got all of this floor up here. Pajama party.
We're
looking at it. Sorry?
Is the Christmas party going to be this year?
Not telling.
Not on the boat again, please.
No.
I'm getting off it last time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a
boat.
Much more elastic than that. And then Saturday the 16th, and remember the theme for that meeting is the business plan and budget. So we'll be doing the fiscal envelope outputs, the committee's inputs, and trying to create a meaningful way forward from there. Thank you.
What else?
You're declaring the meeting closed.